The running time for this Rain Hamcast podcast is 18 minutes 17 seconds with a station ID break at 9 minutes 12 seconds. There are 10-second breaks to reset Echo Link and All-Star timers at 2:51, 5:57, 9:12, 12:19, and 15:29.
This is Rain Hamcast podcast number 74, hosted August 20th, 2022. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. Just who is Eric Guth, 4Z1UG? Eric grew up in Southern California, but resides today in Israel. His QSO Today podcast recently observed his 400th weekly hour-long episode, in which the interview shoe was on the other foot. Here's an excerpt from that conversation featuring Eric Guth himself.
I'm Jim Wilson, K5ND. I interviewed Eric, 4Z1UG, in celebration of 200 QSO Today podcast episodes back in June 2018. Since then, Eric has produced an additional 200 QSO Today podcast episodes, as well as 4 QSO Today virtual ham expos. It's appropriate to once again interview Eric to more formally catch up with what's happened since our last interview for episode 200. In that interview, you noted it took 12 hours to produce an interview. Have you found any productivity breakthroughs?
It's funny. The more you do something, the better you get at it, Jim. One of the things I've learned to do, I don't delegate work very well, because I often think that other people can't do it the way that I can do it. But Ben Bresky has been with me for a few years now, and he does an amazing job editing the podcast, and that makes me and all of the guests sound brilliant. Rachel Pearson now helps me with the back office. There's a fair amount of back office and social media. And so it takes 6 to 8 hours now to do the podcast. We're also using some tools that we didn't have before. And one of those tools is a thing called Descript.com. So we're using artificial intelligence to edit the show. What that means is Descript actually turns our show audio into a transcript. And when we're editing, we edit the transcript. So as we're actually cutting out words or taking out the you knows, the ums, and things like that, the audio actually gets edited at the same time. So that allows us to, with the visual, to be able to see if we're going off on a tangent and move it back. And I think that that's created a tighter show. That's what we're doing better. It's still a labor of love. Every time I start approaching an episode like 400, I'm starting to think, boy, do I want to keep on doing this? Frankly, I make this podcast now for an audience, but I've always made it for me because I love talking to people and I love interviewing hams. So I'm just going to keep doing it, at least from this point.
It sounds like you've both outsourced some tasks and automated some tasks. I've lightly been introduced to Descript, but I wasn't aware of its edit the script and edit the audio at the same time. In interview episode 200, you noted your biggest challenge was finding guests. Has that improved or changed over the past now 400 episodes?
Well, you know, it has, Jim. I can tell you that at the beginning of the QSO Today podcast, I was always looking for the movers and shakers, the people who are well-known, they write articles, they are big contesters, they get a lot of accolades from the amateur radio community, and you can tell in the first 200 or 300 episodes that, in fact, those were people whose names you recognize. But you know what I also discovered was is that I just like talking to people, and I've discovered that if I listen carefully, that most people have a story to tell. And what most of the listeners of the QSO Today podcast don't hear is that the conversation that I have along the way with the guest in order to get them to talk more about themselves. Because I think a lot of people are kind of hesitant to talk about themselves. Maybe it's that Midwestern Methodist mentality that Americans have that it's not polite to talk about yourself. But I've discovered that most hams have very interesting stories, even if they haven't been hams for 30, 40, 50 years. So you will hear in upcoming episodes hams that have only been licensed for a few years, but they're doing amazing things in ham radio, and they're bringing a fresh perspective that I think needs to be heard. So the short answer is that I'm finding it easier because I'm not as discerning as I was before on the one hand. On the other hand, I'm finding that everyone has a story to tell, and hopefully I'm gaining some skills in bringing those stories out.
Part of my journey was working satellites, and I discovered the group of people working the satellites didn't have a lot of tenure in amateur radio, typically, but they were very excited about it, and it was a lot of fun getting on the air and working. It's a wide tent of amateur radio with a lot of different folks in it. I'd listened to episode 200 to help me here, but in that episode, you mentioned your audience was based on survey results that you had done, was basically over age 50, licensed 30 plus years, typically extra class license, and primarily USA based. Has that changed since episode 200?
Well, I think the average age has come down a little bit, and I think that is a result of the QSO Today Virtual Ham Expos, because that audience is broader on the one hand. On the other hand, I think the people that enjoy the podcast are still mostly that same crowd. My sense and the feedback that I get is that I'm still talking to over 50, licensed a long time, maybe not quite 30 years or more, but licensed a long time, and a higher level of license, extra class, mostly.
In 2020, you started the QSO Today Virtual Expo. What inspired you to start that expo?
Well, it was kind of a whim. The fact was, there isn't very many years that I'm actually able to go to America to go to the Dayton Hamvention. But the year 2020 seemed like that would be the year I could go. There were no conflicts with holidays. There was no problem with my schedule. And so I made all of my reservations early. And then as the pandemic started to take speed, all of these things were beginning to cancel. So it was really kind of a whim to say, you know what, maybe I could create a virtual convention that kind of has all of the elements of a big convention, even looking like a big convention, and just to see if I could do it. And ultimately, it was a challenge for me. I'm locked down anyway. Could I make a virtual convention? And I was kind of thrilled with the results of the first one in terms of the number of people that signed up. I think we had 25,000 registrations. Of course, it was free. We had a good result, I mean, in terms of sponsors and exhibitors that came. It wasn't like any of the big shows, but it was okay. I think we all learned something from that first one in terms of how to interact with people. We always try to improve that. The first one was inspired by this idea of, could I do it? Could I actually pull one off? And that's really how it all started.
You've now done four expos. How have the goals changed from one to two, three, then four?
I think in each of the expos, I felt there was something that could be improved. One of the things that could be improved was the experience. Unlike Zoom, Zoom seems to be like a foundational technology that we've all gotten used to since the beginning of the pandemic. In case people are listening who haven't been to the expo, we pre-record all the presentations, and we did that because I discovered with the QSO Today podcast that not everybody has good internet.
You're in the midst of an excerpt from an interview of Eric Guth, 4Z1UG, producer of 400-plus hour-long interviews as part of his QSO Today podcast series, and the mastermind behind the QSO Today Virtual Ham Expos, unique in the world of amateur radio. We'll conclude our excerpt from Jim Wilson, K5NB's conversation, after you identify your station. This is Rain Hamcast number 74 for August 20th, 2022. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. We'll be right back.
Some of the most interesting ham radio operators with the most to present are on very poor internet connections. So by pre-recording those presentations, we could ensure that those presentations were excellent. In fact, we even had in the first expo, because of the pandemic raging in August of 2020, we even had one or two of the presenters do the Q&A on their phones in the hospital emergency room where they were kind of waiting for a family member. So we discovered that was the best way to do that. However, the user experience wasn't always great. The transition between one presentation and another presentation, or the transition from the presentation to doing the Q&A. So there was a lot of stuff that we were trying to work out. And in the last four expos, we've tried things. The second expo, I won't say it was a disaster or a failure. I think some people described it that way because I tried to integrate two platforms together to make a better user experience. But it was a learning experience, and I discovered that, in fact, those people that were able to get on to the AirMeet platform to actually have those face-to-face conversations really liked it. So the process of creating four expos has been to improve the user experience so that it got as close to being live without being live. Does that make sense?
It does. And I recall I've done two presentations for the Ham Expo, and I liked that pre-recording option. That way, if something didn't work, I could redo it. Mostly, I just let it fly here, but I could do it when I wanted to do it, make sure it was looking good. You guys also had that ability to make sure it fit. So I liked that format real well. The second one had a bit of angst that it was going to come off at all, but it certainly did. But the Q&A sessions, both of mine, went pretty well, got a lot of audience engagement. I thought it worked very well. What would you say has been your biggest success with the Ham Radio Expo?
The biggest success was the fact that we did it. We were the first ham radio conference to ever do a virtual expo, so we have that feather in our cap. It started as an experiment, but it keeps going because it has support, even though that support has come down to about a solid 4,000 to 5,000 people that come each time. That's not bad. It's more than I would have thought when I started out. The initial goals, I don't think they've changed. I wanted it to be educational. I wanted it to be informative. I wanted it to be fun. I think people with an open mind might find that it's at least two of those three things. That's really where it's gone for the most part. I still try to streamline the processes each time to make it better. Mostly the interaction between hams, quote-unquote, on the floor is better. The interaction between sponsors and ham visitors to their lounges is better. The technology is getting better all the time, and I'm always looking at new technology in order to see if we can always improve the experience. I think that's kind of where my thinking is at this point.
It actually brings to mind that you're always pushing the envelope, and every once in a while you're going to fall through through that envelope. But that's when you're on the leading edge, I guess.
It becomes, or the bleeding edge. Right.
Yeah, exactly. You mentioned the second expo. Apart from that whole challenge of trying and not quite succeeding, bringing two platforms together, what have been some of the other challenges that you've had to deal with pulling off the expo?
Well, that March 2021, that was a confluence of everything that could go wrong. It was the height of the pandemic across the world. Emanuela, who works with me in the expo very closely, along with Rachel and Ben and Abu Bakar, Emanuela in Italy got the COVID, and she was really sick. She was in and out trying to service the sponsors at the same time she was sick and in isolation in her Italian apartment. And the weekend of the expo, the programmer that I'm using, who I still use, who was working on not only helping me with the integration of the two platforms, but also all of the customer support and all that stuff, he was intubated Sunday morning of the expo because he couldn't breathe anymore. He was in Algeria, and being intubated in Algeria is probably a little bit different than being intubated in North America. And so everything that could go wrong with the technology went wrong. My wife was holding my hand when I finally came on the platform and saw the hundreds of messages that were waiting for me and all of the feedback that was coming in, my phone ringing. I still have PTSD, I think, from that weekend. On the other hand, believe it or not, When Abu Bakr came out of intubation the next day, they gave him a sack of medication to take home. He and I completely rebuilt the presentation system so that all of those presentations could be easily downloaded and viewed. And at the same time, we made it so that it was also blind friendly, so that a blind person could easily use a screen reader to read the titles and start the player and control the player with the keyboard. So as a result of that, we had over 100,000 downloads of presentations for the March 2021 Expo. And we kind of felt that even though there were difficulties on the platform, and they were all my fault, in the end, though, a lot of people became really well informed and educated as a result of those presentations. And so I've kind of felt that was a success. And being on the bleeding edge, you lick your wounds and you get up and, you know, you can either say, I won't do this ever again, it was too hard. Or Brad, who's been my friend and partner for the last 41 years, said to me, let's play it a little bit more conservative for August of 2021. And that's what we did. So August came off. It was very successful, I think. So that's kind of what happened.
And that concludes our excerpt from a recent interview with Eric Guth, 4Z1UG, the mind behind QSO Today podcasts and the QSO Today Virtual Ham Expo, the fifth of which is scheduled for September 17th and 18th, 2022. You can hear the entire one-hour interview with Eric on qsotoday.com, episode 400. You'll find a link there to the upcoming QSO Today Virtual Ham Expo coming September 17th and 18th, 2022. Congrats to Eric for his stick-to-itiveness. RAIN founder Hap Holly, KC9RP, edits and produces this bi-weekly ham radio hamcast without monetization. Your support via PayPal and feedback on the RAINReport.com are appreciated. Copyright 1985, 2022, RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network. All rights reserved. RAIN programming is made available under a Creative Commons license. You are encouraged to download, share, post, and transmit RAIN hamcasts in their entirety via amateur radio. Thanks to Tom Shimizu, N9JDI, for posting a not-for-broadcast version of these podcasts via the RAIN Report channel on YouTube. RAIN Hamcast Podcast number 75 will post September 3rd, 2022. Very 73 from RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. Keep on hamming!